She's been a tennis player since the age of 3, and she's one of Sweden's 2 best players. One of her goals is to reach a top 100 in the world. Today you will get to know Miriam Björklund a little better. We're going to talk about how to set goals, how to get out of dips in life, and what happens if you don't reach your goals. Welcome to Rayless Play, Miriam.
Thank you.
Björklund. Nice to see you here.
Nice to see you as well.
How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Miriam, how would you like to describe yourself?
That's always a tough question. I would like to describe myself as a driven, goal-oriented, and happy girl.
Mm. Sounds good to me. Tennis became important very early in your life.
Yeah. It was it was a hobby at first, you know, as a child. And I've always been very determined and hard-headed when it comes to sports, but I was doing a lot of other sports as well. And then once I decided tennis was what I wanted to do, then that became, you know, a full-time thing and my job now. Mm.
Do you remember that moment when you felt that tennis was your thing?
Yeah, I remember I had to choose quite early in my life what I wanted to do. I was actually mostly doing gymnastics at the time. And I just didn't have enough time to play tennis. So I decided to quit with all the other sports and continue on with tennis and have that as my main thing. And I put school to the side and everything else to the side to do this 100%. And I remember that was kind of a freeing moment because it was something that I really wanted to do.
Mm. That's a bold thing to do as well, I think.
Yeah.
But today you're ranked number 2 in Sweden.
Yeah.
You won tournaments. You have the world as your workplace for a long time. Are you living your dream?
Yeah, I definitely am. You know, it is a job. And like any other job, some days can be harder than others. But it doesn't always feel like a job because I enjoy it a lot. So I would definitely say I'm living my dream. But I have more dreams. So hopefully in the future, I will achieve those as well.
Yeah, hope so. Rayless is supporting your journey to the top. How crucial is it to have that kind of financial support if you want to reach the top?
For me, it's been a thing that has... It wouldn't have been possible without it. I come from a country here, Sweden, that is... our federation is not quite as big as other federations, and it's you pay for this by yourself, so you need sponsors if you're somebody like me to be able to do it in the first place. And so it wouldn't have been possible without my sponsors, and I'm forever going to be grateful for it. And it's definitely something that's gotten me to where I am today.
Nice to hear. Right now, you're injured, but you're on your way back. How do you deal with that? You want to be on the court and win matches and so on, but is that, how do you deal with it?
It's definitely not always easy.
Oh.
It feels like your life is standing still a little bit, and it's not standing still for all the other players, and the tour is still going on. So sometimes it can definitely be difficult, but I try to see it from another perspective, and I have time to do things that I don't normally have time for, and I haven't had time for the last 15 years, both tennis-related and privately. So I've been trying to improve myself in the ways that I can, even though I can't be competing right now. I can still train, and I can still get better at other things, and especially in the gym. So I try to stay positive.
This is perhaps a dumb question, but I ask it anyway. Is it possible to train your mental strength like now when you're injured?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like tennis is so mental, and you have to be really strong, and you have to sometimes talk yourself out of your own thoughts. So it's definitely a way to strengthen your mind once again, and you kind of just have to even more see everything from a brighter perspective than normally when you're playing.
When did you realize that you needed to set goals in life?
I think I was very young, but maybe I didn't realize at the time that they were goals. But, you know, I always had, you know, I always said to my mom, I want to do this or I want to do this. And she was kind of just showing me what was necessary to do and to reach to get there. Mm. So I think from a very young age, I realized that goals are a great way to get out of bed in the morning and to do the things that aren't necessarily always so easy.
Mm. But to be competing on the level that you are right now, you must have goals. Otherwise, it's impossible, I believe.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't have goals, you don't know when to celebrate.
No.
And it's important, I think, in everybody's life to have small moments to celebrate and bigger moments to celebrate and feel good about yourself, because you do face a lot of defeat when it comes to tennis. Every week, everybody but one person loses the whole tournament. And if you don't have small things to celebrate, then I think it can get quite tough. Mm. So goals are great. I think they help you get out of bed, like I said, and they help you feel good about yourself. They help you remind you of where you are now and where you were before. Mm. Because at times I've had goals to just, you know, be top five in Sweden and then top two. And then I want to be number one or I want to get to Grand Slams. And if I don't have those goals to remind me of where I've gotten, then I think the journey becomes less fun.
Mm. So one tip to our viewers here is to set goals to have smaller and greater things to celebrate in life.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's good. One of your goals, as you said, is to be top 100. And today, I think you're around 200.
Yeah,
due to your injury and so on. But how do you feel about being ranked and being a number on the list constantly?
I mean, I try not to focus too much on the number. Oh. But at the same time, it's good to know where you're at. And I think a ranking, sometimes it's good to know. You know, at one point in my life, I was 500. And at one point in my life, I didn't even have a ranking. So it's nice to know that I've gotten myself up to the ranking that I have today, but it's also a constant reminder of where I'm not, you know, in my life right now. But, you know, that comes with goals. I have a goal to be top 100 and I really want to achieve that. So
I try not to timeline when I must reach top 100 before this and that date.
I've had timelines before and I do really want to reach top 100 this year.
Mm.
But the reality of it is that sometimes there are things like my injury right now that gives me a little bit of a setback. But at the same time, the timeline is mostly just to feel good about myself when I get there rather than stressing myself to get there. I feel like I will always just be proud if I get to top 100, no matter if it's this year or next year or, you know, later on. Mm. But I think a timeline can also stress you out a little bit.
Yeah.
And we have enough stress with our life. So I think it's maybe unnecessary, but always rather sooner rather than later, you know.
But I think one interesting question regarding this is that if you don't reach your goals, what happened then? Should you adjust your goal or do you set whole new goals?
Sometimes you have to adjust.
That's the question in general, but also on your tennis life, of course. But
I think sometimes you have to adjust the expectation of the goal. Like you said, the timeline. Sometimes you feel like I should have been there by now. Mm. But if you're realistic and you look back at what's happened and something's happened that you can't really control, then cut yourself some slack. But sometimes you have to adjust the way to get there.
Mm.
It's not always, you might think that you'll get there by doing it this way or this way, but maybe you realize along the way and with your experiences that you might have to adjust, you know, how to get there.
Mm. So that don't necessarily mean that it's a failure. It's just an adjustment.
Yeah, I think so. I would like to see it that way because a goal is just something that you want to do.
Mm.
So you shouldn't stop wanting to get there. But yeah, you're going to have to just find a new solution to get there.
Yeah. Beth, as you said, your goal, primary goal now is to reach top 100. But do you in your mind believe that you could be the best tennis player in the world?
I think when I was younger, that was a big thing for all kids. Why are you doing it if you don't want to be the best?
Mm.
That's kind of the mindset. But as you grow older, I feel like I just want to be the best that I can be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the end goal is going to be. Like you said, right now, my goal is to be top 100. Mm-hmm. And once I get to top 100, it's probably going to be top 50. Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, there are so many great players in the world, and being the best, comparing myself to everybody else, is not necessarily the ultimate goal anymore. It's more being better than I was yesterday and, you know, constantly improving. And I still want to be, you know, up there with the best, but it's a little too far right now to think about that. 'Cause then I will be unhappy with where I am today. Yeah. So I think, being better, every day is a good goal for me.
Yeah, and you can also turn the perspective all the way around and see that, okay, I'm actually one of the 100 and 200 or 50 best players in the world. That's kind of cool as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, when I was younger, I was watching people play the Grand Slams, and that was a huge thing.
Yeah.
And I've played all of them now, and I've qualified for three of them and played, you know, the main draw. So that's been a really, really cool thing for me. Not a lot of Swedish people have done that, and it's definitely a big thing. So,
and that's also something you can bring with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that you have to be able to handle is pressure and to deliver under pressure. I think it's also something that a lot of people can relate to. How did you find your way?
I think I've learned to enjoy pressure. It hasn't always been that way.
Enjoy pressure.
Yeah. I think having that pressure makes it very competitive, and it makes it even more great when you achieve it. And I think pressure is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just sometimes it can get a little bit overwhelming, but the world doesn't stop if you don't achieve something that you have pressure to achieve. But I kind of enjoy the pressure because it means that there is an expectation of me to achieve that. And people believe I can achieve that, then I know I can, but I just have to go out and do it. Mm. So, and you know, we practice every day to be able to handle these situations and these moments. So I feel like pressure is a privilege, sort of. And it means that maybe sometimes you have pressure because you're better than your opponent, but you still have to go out and win that match. Mm. And it's never going to be easy, and the job has to get done, but sometimes pressure is a good thing, because then that means you're not the underdog.
Do you have any advice for our viewers how to handle pressure?
I think it can be different for everybody, but I think to try to just embrace the feeling of pressure, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing.
No.
So if people can try to have a mindset of like, okay, it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to get through it, then you can always come out on the other side.
Mm. We all have dips in our life, and then we need to recharge. How do you get out of dips?
I try to remind myself that they're not forever. Good moments and bad moments are not gonna last forever, and there are things that I've learned throughout my life help me get out of those situations. You know, trying to do something fun privately, or knowing that I just have to go and work out, because sometimes it's just a bad cycle, and you just have to get out of it. Nobody really knows the answer to those things. So I think learning from your experiences and doing stuff that you know have worked before, or even if you don't know what works, then you just try something new, try to get out of it. And sometimes it takes longer than other times, but nothing lasts forever.
No. Do you think that you learn something every day about your body, about your mental strength, and about your tennis and so on? Do you think that you...
I think so. I think you can always learn something new, and you can always learn something from other people. Mm. So I try to always have an open mind for other people's, you know, advice or experiences. I think that it's very important to just realize that nobody really has it figured out, and you always have to go day by day it's everybody's first time at life, so you're just going to have to try to learn this too.
Mm, that's true. Last question. Hopefully you have a lot of years ahead of you in the tennis world, but What do you think you will bring with you from the tennis world once you retire?
I think a big thing in tennis for me has been the responsibility. I have to take responsibility for my actions and my decisions and everything. And I think it has taught me that anything that you want to do, you have to do it. And you can't get somewhere by not doing anything about it. You have to go and do it yourself and not pity yourself. Sometimes, you know, you face tough moments, but tennis is so individual and you have to deal with a lot of things by yourself. So I think it's taught me that if I want to do something, I don't have to rely on other people to do that. I can actually do it by myself. And then you're always going to need a little bit of help, but the responsibility and holding myself accountable for my actions and for my results and everything, my failures, that's a big thing for me.
Sounds like a wise bunch of thoughts. Yeah. Miriam, it's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit better. And we really hold both our thumbs that you,
you
be on the court soon again and that you reach top 100 and you're continuing to reach your goals.
Thank you.
It's been nice meeting you and see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you.
And thank you for watching Realist Play and see you soon. Bye.
Du har lyssnat på podden Nytänkarna med Jesper Börjesson. Vill du se en filmad version av det här samtalet och andra intervjuer så finns vi på YouTube och där heter vi Railers Play.